Force Logistics Command is helping support about 18,000 refugees near its Camp Books headquarters north of Da Nang. The command aids Wak Khon village refugees with supplies not available to them elsewhere. Wak Khon residents have fled Viet Cong-controlled areas to live under protection of Marine forces. Refugees in the area have been there for some time, some up to 3 years. Force Logistics Command just provides what it can, but not on a handout basis. In some instances, food is used as wages for the work done by the Vietnamese, thus eliminating the impression of a handout. All commodities are surplus United States government foods, which along with other materials, are drawn from the 3rd Marine Amphibious Force warehouse maintained by FLC Marines. Foods used to pay the refugees include cooking oil, rice, wheat, rolled oats, and cornmeal. To supplement their diet, the workers exchange some of their goods for meat, fruit, or vegetables with other villagers. Some supplies are donated by CARE, and some by the Catholic Relief Fund. For schools, churches, and other large projects, a special request goes from the village officials indicating the amount of supplies that will be used, as well as the number of workers backing the project. Most of these undertakings are self-help projects. In emergency situations, such as when a home, school, or church has been destroyed by fire or Viet Cong terrorism, the Marines step in and help in rebuilding, rebuilding for a better tomorrow. And this has been Marine Gunnery Sergeant Bob Green, Informational Services Office, Headquarters, Fleet Marine Force Pacific. North Vietnamese forces and the Viet Cong resorted to using Vietnamese civilians as human shields in a last-ditch attempt to overrun Hoi An defenders in a two-day battle. The arrival of Korean Marines to bolster the beleaguered Vietnamese Army units ended the 2 days of terrorism in the Quang Nam provincial capital. Elements of the 51st Army of Republic of Vietnam Regiment drove the estimated 400 NVA and Viet Cong force from the city as the Hoi An defenders manned well-fortified positions in preparations for a large-scale counterattack. A United States military advisor in Hoi An said the Viet Cong could be expected to make a determined effort to retake the city for psychological reasons. The North Vietnamese Army opened the battle with a pre-dawn mortar attack on the Arvin 102nd Engineer compound. The Arvins repulsed the attack to halt the enemy advance. In the afternoon, the Viet Cong captured and occupied an Arvin compound with heavily fortified bunkers and automatic weapons positions. The Arvin Engineer compound, a Vietnamese hospital, and a street lined with one-story houses fell to enemy control, permitting them to snipe at friendly troops. Elements of the 4th Army of Republic of Vietnam Armored Personnel Carrier Troop bore the brunt of the Viet Cong's initial attack. With the help of their Australian Army advisor, the Vietnamese were able to withdraw to a defensive perimeter and fight off enemy efforts to overrun them. Well, following a night of sporadic street fighting and heavy mortar attacks launched by both sides, the MACV advisors, in coordination with Arvin commanders, called extensive airstrikes on Viet Cong positions. The North Vietnamese Army and Viet Cong troops countered with a massive push through the city, using Vietnamese civilians as shields from small arms fire. The villagers, realizing their predicament, quickly scattered. They left the enemy exposed to withering Arvin machine gun and rifle fire. Well, the Arvins then received unexpected reinforcements from the 3rd Company 1st Battalion, 2nd Republic of Korea Marine Brigade. The Koreans, supported by 3 tanks from the 1st Marine Division's 1st Tank Battalion, were on a routine search and destroy patrol when called to Hoi An to bolster the already rolling Arvin offensive. Entering the city, one of the Marine tanks was struck and set afire by North Vietnamese Army B-40 anti-tank rocket. Marine Air Naval Gunfire Liaison Anglico personnel, working with the Korean and Marine tankers, moved forward to attempt a rescue of the charred tank. The burnt vehicle was withdrawn, and the remaining 2 tanks moved into the city to direct their fire on enemy bunkers and reinforced positions. By evening, Army of Republic of Vietnam troops had completed the sweep of the city to eliminate enemy resistance. Our count revealed more than 100 North Vietnamese Army and Viet Cong dead. Most of the enemy dead were found clutching their weapons in firing positions, indicating a last-ditch effort against the accurate and well-directed fire of the Hoi An defenders. A mop-up search of the enemy positions revealed a multitude of arms and equipment, including several B-40 and B-41 rocket rounds and many medical supplies. And this has been Marine Gunnery Sergeant Bob Green, Headquarters, Fleet Marine Force Pacific. Where men go, so goes the USO. At least leathernecks of the 1st Marine Aircraft Wing feel that way, because across the road from their headquarters compound is where the Golden Gate USO of Da Nang is located. During early 1967, Major General Lewis B. Robertshaw, then commanding general of the wing, saw a need for a place his Marines could enjoy a few minutes of relaxation and picked the vacated old Marine Aircraft Group 13 mess hall. On June 1st, one day before the general returned to the States, the USO was dedicated in his honor. The recreation center was damaged during the July rocket attack and forced out of business. After 3 months' reconstruction, the Golden Gate USO was reopened on September 24th. Almost 1,000 servicemen now visit the center daily. One of the main attractions is the snack bar. There, servicemen can order hamburgers or hot dogs, soda pop, and even ice cream. The center is open from 9 in the morning until 10 in the evening. Other attractions at the center include a free floor show, large and small game room with ping pong, shuffleboard, pool, and checkers, musical instrument room, TV room, reading and writing room, and photo engraving concession. United Service Organization, living up to its motto, a home away from home. This has been Marine Gunnery Sergeant Bob Green, Headquarters, Fleet Marine Force Pacific. Patience and alertness on a squad-sized ambush led to the destruction of a concealed tunnel complex and the probable deaths of 3 Viet Cong. Lance Corporal Charles Saunders, 19 of Kalamazoo, Michigan, and a squad from E Company 2nd Battalion, 7th Marines, began their ambush late at night. After hours of sitting and patiently waiting, the men spotted 3 Viet Cong crossing the rice paddies. Well, quietly, the Marines followed. When they got near a hut in the deserted hamlet of Toi Tu, the Leathernecks made their move. As Saunders entered the hut, the last Viet Cong was in a tunnel and closing the spider trap over him. "I called the M79 Grenadier," explained Saunders, "and he fired into the hole. The next thing I knew, a trap door from under the fireplace opened up. There was a burst from an AK-47 rifle, and a Chinese communist grenade went off. The automatic burst wounded one of the 3 men in the hut. Saunders and the M79 man were thrown out the door. Saunders and the Grenadier returned to the hut, however, and continued to bombard the tunnel with M79 grenades. When that was over, he added, "We grenaded the hut itself." Well, the following day, a patrol reported signs of collapsed tunnels surrounding what was left of the hut. This has been Marine Gunnery Sergeant Bob Green, Headquarters, Fleet Marine Force Pacific. Marines from A Company, 1st Amphibian Tractors, killed 27 North Vietnamese soldiers while sweeping near the Vietnamese fishing village of Mai Lac, northwest of Qua Viet. A 2-hour clash resulted from intelligence reports that a North Vietnamese Army unit was moving toward the village. The Amtrak Company and the Vietnamese Army Battalion from the 2nd Regiment were assigned to find the infiltrators. Major P.M. Johnson of Vista, California, A Company commanding officer, led his company on a sweep northward after another Amtrak company had reported the North Vietnamese Army moving south. They kept moving north, hoping to catch the NVA between their 2 units. However, no contact with the enemy was made during the first day. And then, a small Popular Forces patrol made contact with the North Vietnamese Army in the village. The South Vietnamese River Patrol boat sent to aid the patrol also came under heavy automatic weapons fire from that village. The Marine Company moved south and set up a blocking force while the Arvin Battalion swept the village to aid the beleaguered Popular Force troops. The Marines immediately moved out. When they came within 200 meters of the village, scouts reported it was deserted. After moving another 25 meters, they were taken under heavy machine gun automatic and semi-automatic and rocket fire. The enemy fire came from well-concealed positions just on the outskirts of the village. They started to move towards the enemy and immediately received 40 to 50 rounds of incoming artillery fire on their positions. After 2 hours of bitter, close-in fighting, the North Vietnamese Army broke contact, and the Army of Republic of Vietnam units swept through their village. Well, some of the villagers returned after the fighting was over and told the Arvins that the North Vietnamese Army had buried their weapons and headed north. The Leatherneck Company, in addition to its confirmed kills, captured two automatic rifles, one flamethrower, ammunition, and other equipment, including several intelligence documents. This has been Marine Gunnery Sergeant Bob Green, Headquarters, Fleet Marine Force, Pacific. A Vietnamese Popular Force trooper went bird hunting and, with the United States Marine help, bagged a Viet Cong stool pigeon. The Vietnamese from Nam O village, north of Da Nang, was looking for birds near the village when he suddenly turned around and looked into the barrel of an automatic pistol held by a Viet Cong intelligence agent. Well, he grabbed the Viet Cong's wrist and, in the ensuing struggle, wounded his attacker in the hip. Seeing two more Viet Cong come out of a tree line with automatic weapons, the Vietnamese ran 300 meters for reinforcements to the compound of Combined Action Platoon Quebec 4. Marine Sergeant Mike Rafferty of Granada Hills, California, led a squad-sized patrol of Marines and popular forces back to the scene. The Viet Cong were not in sight, but villagers pointed out a house in which they had seen the wounded man take refuge. Rafferty's patrol surrounded the house and searched it. When a popular force troop discovered the entrance to a tunnel near one wall, the wounded Viet Cong let his presence be known by firing a couple of rounds from the tunnel. He was answered with two M79 grenades into the tunnel, and minutes later, his body was dug up from the hole by local villagers. A search of the body turned up papers showing detailed descriptions of United States military installations along Highway 1 in and near Da Nang. Also, a report on security measures at each installation. Some of the papers bore National Liberation Front official markings. The reports were obviously intended for the high command, said Rafferty. Well, that popular force trooper really got himself a big bird this time. This has been Marine Gunnery Sergeant Bob Green, Informational Services Office, Headquarters, Fleet Marine Force, Pacific.